You've probably heard that Amy Chua, a.k.a. Tiger Mom, got word this week that her eldest daughter got into Harvard and Yale. Chua's book, Battle Hymn of the Tiger Mother, set off a fiery debate about parenting. She wrote that she forced her daughters to practice musical instruments for hours without breaks. She didn't allow sleepovers, TV, or any grade less than A. Chua, a Yale law professor, also admitted to calling her daughter names sometimes if her daughter didn't try hard enough or if the girl acted disrespectfully. So are these Ivy League acceptances now a sign that Tiger parenting works? Mary Lee Jones says Tiger parenting doesn't always turn out very well. She's founder of Mary Lee Jones Consulting Company, which advises families on the college admissions process. And Mary Lee, welcome.
Thanks, Deb.
We should mention, first off, that listeners probably recognize your name. You were the dean of admissions at MIT for a long time, and you resigned after admitting that you had lied about your academic credentials when you first applied for the job at MIT. How do you think that affects your counseling students now?
Well, you know, who better to be talking to students about the issue of authenticity than me? I make a lot of mistakes, and I learn from those mistakes. And I move on.
But when we get news like we received this week that Amy Chua's daughter, Sophia, was accepted into Harvard and Yale, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of room for mistakes. What do you think those acceptances say about Tiger parenting, or some folks call it helicopter parenting? Is that a good strategy?
No. I just think this is a unique situation for this particular family. I think this young woman got in her own way based on her own personality. I think there are plenty of kids who do not succeed under that sort of a regime, shall we call it.
Can you tell us a story where, you know, we're not mentioning any names or anything, where you thought that that type of parenting actually made things worse for someone?
The typical story that I see is of a student who will come in who's very smart, and parents have decided that this is a student who's going to major in this in college, and it's going to be an engineer, or going to be a scientist, or a doctor. And the student doesn't want to do doctor, so guess what, you know? Come their junior year, they just stop handing their homework in. It's a passive resistance that happens in those families.
But can a student succeed without a Tiger parent?
Sure. I'm sure that in those schools, in Yale and Harvard, there are hundreds and hundreds of kids who just got admitted, who came in through their own mechanism, not because their parents were forcing them or trying to mold them into something that they're not. This is my deepest concern, actually, is that there's an entire population of young ones coming up who are being trained to be something other than who they truly are. And it creates all kinds of fallout. They don't really thrive. They haven't developed the resilience and the confidence that leads to, you know, successful, mature adulthood. So in my practice, actually, I'm beginning to offer these stress-relieving techniques, because people come in so stressed. Parents will come in with their child sitting in the room and will give me a long litany of what's wrong with him. It's usually a him, by the way. He's got ADD, he's got OCD, he's got some label. I spend time with the boy and I think, you know what, there's nothing wrong with your son. Your son is a teenager. We've really forgotten the nature of adolescence, you know. The way parents are trying to raise kids now, they put labels on them. Oh, there's something wrong with them. It's something that we can medicate or we can counsel them out of. And I think, no, this is exactly what kids need to do. They need to make mistakes. Mistakes are crucial to the development of creativity. We sort of shut off those creative outlets from those kids because we try to make them perfect.
But I think, though, that college admissions process, as we've been saying for years, is increasingly competitive.
It is.
I think Harvard accepts 6% of the kids who apply. So if a child has the ambition, say, and wants to go to a top school, it's increasingly difficult for a child to reach that level if they are a normal adolescent.
That is correct. It is the reality of their world. You see, college admissions is basically a business model, and they will admit based on institutional needs. You know, they may have regional needs. This is the private school sector now. The public school has to be transparent, but for private school, it's arcane. You have no idea what that school is doing. Colleges are looking for people who are best for their own particular community, and colleges don't do a good enough job of explaining that to people. They don't say, look, we care about community here, so if you're a fierce, you know, individualist, you'd be unhappy at our school. Because colleges really want to get as many applications as possible, And then they want to turn as many of those people down as possible so that they can be perceived as being selective. And families walk away feeling cynical. They no longer believe in the system. They don't feel it's a meritocracy anymore. And therefore, guess what? They have to figure out ways to game the system. Mm. I had a kid say to me this year, a young teenager, she said to me, just tell me what they want me to say and I'll say it. Mm. She felt like who I am is not going to do it. You know, it's not going to get me in.
There was just a piece on National Public Radio where the reporter spent some time with the admissions folks at Amherst College in Massachusetts and talked about how these admissions committees really had to sort through thousands of applicants. Many of these kids, the top kids, the same grades, the same SAT scores, and in a matter of minutes, really, these people had to make decisions about who was going to get in.
Yeah.
If that's the system, though, I think it's difficult to say to someone, just be yourself. It'll be okay.
Well, what I tell them, first of all, is they have to really be familiar with Amherst College and what they offer there, and is it a good choice for me, the applicant? And if it's a good choice for me, you know, if I really hold the same kind of values, I'm going to make sure that that's in my application for Amherst.
And what about you? I mean, you consult with families about this process, and how much do you charge folks for your advice?
In New York City, I charge $300 an hour.
Yikes. What about kids who can't afford those types of things?
I do. I have a very big pro bono business as well. Mm. And so that's the other thing, because I'm seeing the other side. It's very bifurcated. You have one population with tremendous pressure placed on kids, you know, to be perfect. And then there's this other entire population that nobody cares about these kids. They're bright kids. They just need someone to believe in them.
I just wonder, you know, we mentioned at the beginning that you had left MIT, I think it was in 2007, because of revelations that you misrepresented your academic credentials. I'm sure that folks listen and say, well, why are you still giving kids advice on colleges after this? And it's a question that I think is probably a fair one, and I'd like to know how you would answer it.
Well, what I've learned was that the culture has such an intolerance for mistakes, and I find that extremely puzzling. Because mistakes are where innovation lies. The history of science and engineering is filled with examples of great innovations that came because of mistakes. So I truly believe in mistakes because perfectionism will paralyze someone. They'll be so frightened to make a mistake, they will not be able to create. And I think that's a complete defeat. It's a defeat of the human experience. So my life is about making mistakes and coming back. Like I said, I really learn my lesson. I take the lessons from it, and then I'm able to pass it on to whoever comes into my world.
Mary Lee Jones, founder of Mary Lee Jones Consulting Company, which advises families about the college admissions process. She's also former dean of admissions at MIT. Mary Lee, thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, you're welcome.